Behind him, they had a two-on-one after that contact at center.
I wonder if Joe Polatichuk might have got a stick on that puck across and just knocked it offline.
Lindmark late in his shift, able to gain the red line and dump it in. Time winding down here at Mariucci. Polatichuk unable to hold left point to the offensive zone. Sent back into the Minnesota end. Gophers after it, and Kester flubbed the pass. Picked up by Kukin, and his shot got through. Soulière stopped it, lost it. It fell between his legs, and then he located and covered.
Yeah, just a whiff kind of on the clear up the backboards. Right to the Badgers. Kukin again was firing shots. He's been firing shots from the neutral zone just outside the Badger blue line, and this one caused a little bit of problems. It looked like it was going to be an easy play.
Face off to the left of Soulière, the longtime Penn State Nittany Lion, who has a career 922 save percentage against Wisconsin in 10 decisions. Gophers win the faceoff. Up to center. Tap back more with speed across the line. Pitched it to the corner. Got around Polatichuk and unable to pick up the loose puck. Polatichuk fell down to his knees, but one hands a pass to Morrissey, who lofts it out to center. And then Finley unable to play it with his left hand and back into the Wisconsin zone. 3:12 left in the third. 3-2 Gophers. Can the Badgers find the back of the net in the waning minutes of this hockey game? Wisconsin dumps it in. Soulière stops it. Gets it off to Thomas up the middle of the ice to Lamb. They cough it up again. Morrissey with it right point. Looking, and he tried to feed a pass in the high slot. The Botterill intercepted by Lamb. He'll calmly just scoop it all the way down and get a change. 2:45 left in the third. There's Hensler now, right wing Dexheimer. Ben couldn't handle the puck cleanly. Look out. Paulson tried to spring Zimmer. Zimmer cut off by Hensler. Back to Paulson. In front. Redirect. Snuggeroo. They score. It's 4-2 Minnesota. That top line has produced all four of their goals and a two-goal lead.
Yeah, one just small pass in the Badger zone. Wasn't a great delivery. Couldn't receive it by Dexheimer. It was just out of his where it should be, and the Minnesota turned that over pretty quickly into a goal. We've seen Erik Paulsson. He's been probably their most key guy tonight. He makes a heck of a pass over to Snuggeroo to just taps it on, redirects past Scarfoni on the far side, and the Minnesota may have just ended this game.
Snuggeroo, his 20th goal of the season, his fourth goal this year against Wisconsin. This is his fifth two-goal game of the year, and it gives Minnesota the 4-2 advantage. Snuggeroo from Paulson and Zimmer. Their goals tonight read Snuggeroo from Zimmer and Paulson, Zimmer from Paulson and Thomas, Paulson from Snuggeroo and Kester, and now Snuggeroo from Paulson and Zimmer. Time of the goal again, 17:28, and it's 4-2 Minnesota. Gophers, beg your pardon, the Badgers take a timeout. We'll keep it right here. Why don't we take 10 seconds for station identification? We pause 10 seconds for a legal ID. You're listening to Wisconsin Badger Hockey.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With our producer Adam Morrison, Paul Capobianco, I'm Brian Posick. It looked good early. Wisconsin up 2-0, but the Badgers now trail 4-2 with 2:32 left in period number three. American Family Insurance is the official insurance partner of UW Athletics. Visit amfam.com/badgers all season long for exclusive content, Badger fan sweepstakes, and more. All right, it's not over. We've got 2.5 minutes left to play. Win the faceoff, dump it in, go get it. Here's Dexheimer, carries to the Minnesota line. He dumps it into the left side. Down the wall comes Finley. Hip check by Chesley. Mosley trying to pull it free. Badgers trying to get it to the point, taken away by Snuggeroo. Empty net to our left. Snuggeroo had a chance for an empty netter, lost the puck, got it back. Lead feed Zimmer. He'll just roll it right in. Empty netter for Minnesota, and that will do it. It's 5-2.
The Badgers, when they've been dumping the pucks in the last period, goaltender Soulière has been coming out and making plays and stopping it. This time, Badgers got it up on high on the glass and got it around. Just couldn't handle the puck once they got in, and it was over from there. Scarfoni had gone to the bench during all that, and the empty net was there for Minnesota just to skate it in.
Two goals in the final 20 seconds, or the last 20 seconds. Zimmer from Snuggerud at 17:48. Zimmer's second goal of the game, 11th of the season. His third against the Badgers this year. 5-2. Not indicative of what type of game this was. It was tight. Badgers up 2-0. Gophers cut it in half with about 7 minutes left in the second period. And then they score one late in the second with 1:03 to play to even things up. The Gophers have just carried on from there. Icing on Wisconsin. 1:49 left here in the third period of play. Boy, Snuggerud with two goals, two helpers tonight. Zimmer has two goals, two helpers tonight. Paulson has a goal and three assists tonight. That's pretty good production from the top line. Badgers top line, Rylan Mosley had a goal. Morrissey with an assist. Finley without a point here tonight. Just the sixth game this season that Quinn Finley has gone without a point. 1:40 to play, 5-2 Minnesota. Horbach picks up the loose puck across the Minnesota line. Left wing fires one, went glove side, missed it. Off the corner boards, Badgers able to hold. Back around to the far side. Pietola can't reach it, and here's Minnesota's Lamb. Pass ahead to Flex, all the way down to the Minnesota zone. Kerr, double team, Kurth and Moore. Puck slides free, Horbach with it. And he'll throw it to open ice, and Palatichuk goes to get it with 1:10 left in the third period. Well, Minnesota will win for the 20th time here tonight. And I believe that's five straight seasons of 20 wins or more for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And it's the 45th time in the last 55 years they've won 20 games or more. Clock winding down, 45 seconds. Badgers dump it in. Soulier plays it to the near wall. Kukkonen down on the forecheck. Puck in the corner. Tyson Dick out there. Horbach now out on the ice as well. Kukkonen trying to pull it free. Schulz came down the wall. John Mittelstadt took it away and threw it out to center. And now Horbach gets underneath Matthew Wood and gave him a pretty good pop. And Wisconsin's got it. Phelan, 19 seconds to go. So the Badgers had a chance to get back to 500 for the first time since the first week of the regular season, but let a two-goal lead slip away for the fourth time this year. Minnesota comes from behind and knocks off the Badgers here tonight by the final score of 5-2. The horn sounds, and the referees will try to get between the Badgers and Gophers so nothing silly transpires. 35-28 shots on goal in favor of Wisconsin, but the Gophers prevail here at Mariucci Arena. Back in a moment, this is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
The Kohl Center, Camp Randall, the Fieldhouse. This is where the magic happens, where the best players lead with passion, fight with power, and win with exceptional performance. And now it's time we add another house to our Badger community. Meet Madison's newest powerhouse player, UW Health East Park Medical Center, home of top doctors and advanced treatments, all under one roof. So no matter the opponent, we're the place to defeat it. UW Health. Remarkable.
Five-two Minnesota the win. Five unanswered goals after the Badgers jumped out to a 2-0 lead. Boy, Wisconsin was playing well, even when Minnesota made it 2-1, 2-2. It's a hockey game. You're going to the third period on the road against the fourth-ranked team of the country, and you're tied, and just couldn't get the job done.
Yeah, Minnesota's difference makers. You mentioned it. What they produced tonight, they were definitely the difference. I mean, it was 2-0 halfway through the game for Wisconsin. A great first period. It was kind of a little disjointed in the second, but things are looking okay. And then Jimmy Snuggerud comes down and just, what a snipe down the right wing. kind of changed the momentum of the game a little bit. Good bounce by, for Minnesota on the next goal in front of the net, just in the right place, right time, which is what you want to do around the net. And then a couple of maybe mistakes in the third period, one with the forward kind of pinching, not his normal spot, yeah. Making a decision that turned out to not work out in Badgers' favor, turned into a 4-on-1, and then just one little simple pass in their own zone trying to break out. It wasn't a lot of pressure. One gopher on a Badger D. Pass wasn't great. Turned the puck over, and that top line turned it around into a goal again. And it was a heck of a performance. I hate to acknowledge it, but Minnesota took advantage of the opportunities for their top line, and their top line was better than the Badgers' top line tonight, and that was the difference.
Oh, for sure. Snuggerud, 2 goals, 4 points. Paulson, 1 goal, 4 points. And Zimmer, he ended up with 2 goals and 4 points. So 5 goals, 12 points from the top line. And Minnesota prevails here tonight 5-2. Postgame show coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Calling all Badger hockey fans. The Wisconsin Badgers and Culver's are announcing the return of the Kid of the Game promotion. Visit uwbadgers.com/Culver Zamboni and register your child for a chance to be the Culver's Kid of the Game at a UW men's hockey game. At each Wisconsin home game, one lucky winner will receive 4 game tickets, the Culver's gift pack, and get to ride the Zamboni between periods. Culver's, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Valid for kids age 8 to 14, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now, whether on the radio, the app, the podcast, or stream. Audio is the number one source of information and entertainment among adults in the U.S. If you own a business or you're in charge of growing a business, this is a key fact, and you should know how it can work for you. That's where we come in. At Civic Media, our local radio stations influence local people, the same people who shop and buy at your place. Now we also reach those same customers wherever they are in the digital world as well. From podcasts to streaming to apps, laptops, and smartphones, our digital advertising capabilities ensure that we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. And with our state-of-the-art measurement systems, we can prove it. Schedule a short meeting to learn how we can partner locally to help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on sponsorship. You'll hear back within 24 hours.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Have you made New Year's resolutions such as exercising more or learning a new skill? Why not add some financial resolutions? For starters, try to reduce your debt load. You'll improve your cash flow and have more to invest. See whether you can boost your pre-tax contributions to your traditional IRA and 401k. Once you're 50, you can even make catch-up contributions. If you have an education goal, consider investing in a tax-advantaged 529 education savings plan. Also, try to build an emergency fund containing up to 6 months' worth of living expenses, with the money kept in a liquid, low-risk account. Finally, even if you're relatively young, it's good to have your estate plans in order. And if you've already created these plans, you may want to review them, especially if you've had changes in your family situation involving marriage, divorce, or birth of children or grandchildren. You may not be able to tackle all these resolutions in 2025, but by addressing as many of them as possible, you can make progress towards your goals and set yourself on a positive course for the future. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
See for yourself.
Badger Hockey has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. And by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Welcome to the Badger Post Game Show.
Along with Paul Keppel, Bianco Bryan, Posick here. Wisconsin suffers just its second regulation loss in the last 18 games and give up 5 unanswered goals and fall to Minnesota by the final score of 5-2. All right, let's get to our 3 stars of the game. We do this every single night, either with Ian Perrin or Paul, and it's brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Start with Everlight Solar.
Well, I can't do it in my heart to give 3 stars to Minnesota, so I'm going number 3, Kyle Kukkonen. I don't even know what his numbers end up. He ended up at 6 shots on goal, probably right. Half of them maybe from the red line or behind. But he just created some of the offense. He made great plays out of his own zone, got the Badgers started on a few rushes. And I like the way he did things tonight.
Yep.
Number 2 star, Jimmy Snuggerud, 2 goals, 2 assists. Kind of got the Gophers going with his incredible shot that he had in the second period. And then the number 1 star, Eric Paulson from Minnesota. I thought he was kind of the catalyst for a lot of Minnesota's offense there. He got the tying goal with a play from behind the net. He didn't get it, but he set up the tying goal.
Right.
Set up Snuggerud for the 4th goal for Minnesota on the rush with a nice pass across, and then he ended up with a 4.92. So heck of a run for that line, unfortunately, and he's my number 1 star.
All right, your 3 stars of the game brought to you by Everlight Solar. Minnesota rallies for a 5-2 win over Wisconsin. Energizing performance is next. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burgers, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Calling all Badger hockey fans. The Wisconsin Badgers and Culver's are announcing the return of the Kid of the Game promotion. Visit uwbadgers.com/Culver Zamboni and register your child for a chance to be the Culver's Kid of the Game at a UW men's hockey game. At each Wisconsin home game, one lucky winner will receive 4 game tickets, a Culver's gift pack, and get to ride the Zamboni between periods. Culver's, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Valid for kids age 8 to 14, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Hey Badger fans, it's Matt's Matt for Brewpub, lots of Matt's Pizza. Basketball season is here, and there's nothing that beats sitting and listening to a Badger game while enjoying a delicious Brewpub pizza. Every game-winning shot and every sweet alley-oop deserves a pizza that's just as amazing. And you'll find that in a Brewpub lots of Matt's Pizza. Loaded with high-quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese, Brewpub pizzas are a swish of delish. Snag one today from your local grocery store or during home games in the concession stand at the Kohl Center.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober or get pulled over.
Together, we can save lives.
Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
Hey Badger fans, you want your family to be warm and comfortable during the brutal Wisconsin winters, right? That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryan Heating and Cooling, who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryan systems, and ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Minnesota 5-2 win over Wisconsin. Series finale tomorrow night, 5 o'clock, 4:30 pregame on the Badger Sports Network and the Varsity Network app. Energizing performance of the game brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond for you. Paul?
Well, energizing performance or play of the game. Wisconsin 3:03 into the game.
Yeah.
Logan Hensler finds a route to the net, puts it on the net, and Simon Tassi in front. Here to get a stick on it, deflected it past the goaltender Soulier, and the Badgers went from there and had a great first period. Minnesota won the first couple of faceoffs of that period and had a little bit, but Wisconsin got that goal and they just went to work. Forecheck, forcing turnovers all over the place for Minnesota. Got a second goal to make it a 2-0 game, and things looked really good after the first period. And unfortunately, things were not to be for tonight.
Badgers outshot the Gophers 10-5 in the opening period. Looked really good, and then things kind of fell apart from there. Hey, nice job tonight. Get your throat ready.
Yes.
Hopefully some a little bit more to cheer about tomorrow night.
That sounds like a great plan to me.
Paul Capobianco working hurt here tonight for UW Athletic Brand Communications. Badgers fall to Minnesota this evening 5-2. Scores from around the country coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Council.
Back here at Mariucci Arena, Minnesota rallies for a 5-2 win over Wisconsin. Badgers associate head coach Todd Kanott, kind enough to come upstairs. And, boy, I tell you, got off to the start you wanted, didn't you?
Yeah, you know what? The first 20 minutes was really good, and the way we need to play against this team, because they've got a lot of firepower. And I thought we made a lot of good puck decisions in the first 20 minutes. And they had to defend a little bit, and we got away from that game in the last 40 minutes. Whether it was puck decisions or, and then give them credit, a guy like Snugger who kind of took over the game as it went on. I thought he scored a big goal to make it 2-1. He doesn't need a lot of time and space. And so we're going to have to look at some film in terms of what we can do to take that top line away and make some adjustments for tomorrow.
Yeah, Snuggerud, he's a sniper. There's no question about it. He'll be playing in the National Hockey League with a shot like that. And it's not like he had a fantastic angle or anything either. He just knows how to shoot it. So from your vantage point, when you saw him, I mean, you could tell what he was going to do as he's coming down the right wing, couldn't you?
Well, what's incredible is he does it every weekend. You know, all the game tape you watch on him, he's got such a quick release. It's a heavy shot. It's that combination. And that's why, yes, even defensively, a little bit too much time and space. We've got to have better sticks on him because it doesn't take much time and he gets it off.
Yeah. You know, he had a couple of posts in the second period. Otherwise, you're up 3 or 4 nothing, right?
Yeah, you know what? And that's where, excited on where we started. I was. I thought we played a really good first 20. And give our guys credit. We haven't had many games where I thought defensively, as the game went on, we weren't ourselves. We weren't. We got loose, I thought. We turned over too many pucks. And we're going to have to get back at our game, what makes us good tomorrow night.
Yeah, this is not an excuse, just a fact. When you lose a defenseman like Daniel Lotch, who's 6'3" with a long stick and knows how to skate and defend and pivot to keep people away from pucks, I mean, he would have made a difference tonight. You don't have him, so you've got to adjust, right?
You know, that's a good way to put it. You do, and we're still trying to figure that out right now. In terms of even him being out, it's just not him on the ice. It's whether he's paired with 22 Horbach. We talked about that earlier, and all of a sudden he settles in. I was with our young guy, 6, for quite a few games, and I thought he settled him. And so now you're getting different pairs, and we've got to figure that out. And you got to, 3 weeks left right now to figure that out before we're playing hockey for keeps. So it's going to be an important time for us.
Yeah, so all right. So try to replicate what you did in the first period for three periods tomorrow.
Correct.
Try to get out of here with a split.
Yeah,
right?
Take care of the puck. And, again, we haven't had back-to-back games this year where I feel effort-wise, and again, I don't want to say effort even on this one, especially in the first 20, but again, playing to our identity against a team that's got a lot of firepower, we got to get back to that.
All right, thanks for coming up. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Paul.
All right, Todd Canott, associate head coach upstairs here, following Wisconsin's 5-2 loss to Minnesota. Scores from elsewhere, and we'll get to highlights too before we wrap things up from Mariucci. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Hey Badger fans, it's Mott's Matt for Brewpub, Lots of Mott's Pizza. Basketball season is here, and there's nothing that beats sitting and listening to a Badger game while enjoying a delicious Brewpub pizza. Every game-winning shot and every sweet alley-oop deserves a pizza that's just as amazing. And you'll find that in a Brewpub Lots of Mott's Pizza. Loaded with high-quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese, Brewpub pizzas are a swish of delish. Snag one today from your local grocery store or during home games in the concession stand at the Kohl Center.
To be a Badger, it takes dedication, perseverance, and an unstoppable drive for excellence. Our team at UW Health Sports Medicine is no different. We bring the same fierce Badger spirit to every surgery, therapy, and training, working tirelessly to keep Wisconsin's athletes at the top of their game. Whether it's nailing the game-winning shot or delivering top-tier care, UW Madison and UW Health are a dream team committed to achieving greatness. Together, we don't just deliver, we dominate. UW Health. Remarkable.
Back at Mariucci, fans have filed out after watching their club come from behind. Before we get to the highlights and final stats, let's run down games from elsewhere in college hockey. First, the top-ranked Wisconsin women earned a 2-1 overtime win at Minnesota Duluth tonight. Marianne Picard scored in regulation. Kirsten Sims, the game winner, with 36 seconds left in overtime. Ava McNaughton, 27 saves. Mark Johnson's club now 26-1-2 and will try to beat the Bulldogs and clinch the WCHA regular season title tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock up at Amsoil Arena. Division I men's hockey non-conference. Long Island beat Stonehill today 4-2. ECAC Quinnipiac outscored Dartmouth 5-4. Colgate shut out Clarkson 2-0. St. Lawrence edged Cornell 2-1. Yale and Union 3-3 overtime tie. Brown beat RPI in OT 6-5. And Princeton a 4-3 overtime win over Harvard. In Hockey East tonight, top-ranked Boston College shut out 8th-ranked UMass Lowell 4-0. Boston University a 7-2 win over New Hampshire. Maine beat Northeastern 3-1. The Black Bears ranked 6th in the country. UConn has moved up to 9 in the national rankings and today played 7th-ranked Providence to a 3-3 overtime tie. UMass doubled up Merrimack 4-2. NCHC North Dakota has a 3-1 lead at St. Cloud. That's in the third. Former Badger Sam Stang has scored Omaha a 2-1 lead on the road against 5th-ranked Denver. That's in the second period. Western Michigan leading Colorado College 2-0 in the second period in the Springs. And Arizona, a 7-1 rout at Miami. CCHA, St. Thomas has knocked off Minnesota State 3-2 on the road. Bowling Green beat Northern Michigan in overtime 3-2. Ferris State, a 5-1 win at Bemidji State. Augustana knocked off Lake Superior State 6-3. Atlantic Hockey, RIT, and Air Force tied at 1 in the second period. Mercyhurst beat Robert Morris 4-2. Sacred Heart got by Niagara 3-2. And in the Big Ten tonight, Michigan State, a 4-1 win at Ohio State to earn a series split with the Buckeyes. Isaac Howard has scored his 21st goal of the season, which leads the country. Trey Augustine, 22 saves. And Penn State rallied to beat Michigan in Ann Arbor 5-4. Aiden Fink scored twice for the Nittany Lions. Verona native J.J. Weebush got the game winner with about 5 minutes left to play. So as we look at the standings now in the Big Ten, and I just need to make one little calculation here so I get this all correct. As we look at the Big Ten standings now, Michigan State in front, 40 points, 21 wins overall. Minnesota earns its 20th win for the fifth straight season. The Gophers have 35 points. They remain five off the pace. Ohio State, 28 points in third place. Wisconsin alone in fourth place with 24. Michigan in fifth place with 22 points. Penn State now with 14. Notre Dame has 11. The Fighting Irish are idle this weekend. So those are scores from around the country. And here tonight, the Badgers were trying to get to 500 for the first time since the first weekend of the regular season. And they were shooting for their first three-game winning streak ever on the Gophers' home ice. I'm talking about this Mariucci and old Mariucci. And the Badgers got off to a great start. Here are the calls of the game. He lost the handle. Badgers have it. Here's Hensler out high. Shot through. The Badgers score. Wisconsin Simon Tassi deflected Hensler's long-range shot. 3:03 into the first. Wisconsin on the board at Mariucci. He refeeds deep. Morrissey off the end boards. Tried to drag it around. Badgers score. Ryland Mosley tapped it in. 2-0 Wisconsin. Just persistent attacking the Gophers in their zone. And another on the board for Wisconsin. Get it to the stick of Zimmer. His pass right wing. Stuggerud with some speed. Comes down. He shoots and scores. Oh my goodness. That was a snipe by Jimmy Stuggerud. Open lane to the net. Now cut off by Kerr. Back around behind the net. Swept it in front. Loose puck picked up. Zimmer. He scores. Oh, the Gophers score with 1:03 to go in period number two, and they pull even. Kester after it far side. He tries to exit the zone, and the Badgers come in too much, and now they've got a 3-on-1 to our left. With it, Paulson. He shoots one. It beats Scarfoni. Blocker side. They're up 3-2. And then they would add two more. Again, the Badgers had a 1-0 lead. Simon Tassi redirecting Logan Hensler's shot. Jack Horbach with an assist. Tassi, his fourth goal of the season, 3 minutes in. 1-0 Wisconsin. Then Ryland Mosley scored his 12th of the year from Gavin Morrissey and Zach Scholes. Morrissey, by the way, his 20th assist of the season. That came at 11:14. Wisconsin had a 2-0 lead after one period of play and playing very, very well. But then Minnesota got going thanks to its Jimmy Snuggerud. His snipe from the right wing is 19th goal of the season at 12:49, assisted by Brody Zimmer and Eric Paulson, got the Gophers going. Zimmer then scored at 18:57 from Paulson and Cal Thomas. Zimmer's 10th of the year. That made it 2-2 after two. Another late period goal given up by the Badgers, the 22nd time they had given up a goal with under 2 minutes left in a period. And then Minnesota would take the lead. Eric Paulson beating Tommy Scarf Phony at 5:43, his third goal of the season from Snuggerud and Mike Kester. That made it 3-2. Snuggerud then would tap in a pass from Paulson. Zimmer with an assist as well at 17:28, a two-goal advantage for the Gophers. And then 20 seconds later, Snuggerud set up Zimmer for an empty netter, his 11th of the year. The final score, 5-2. Badgers, 35 shots on goal. Minnesota had 28. And again, only five in the first period when the Badgers played so well. Both teams had two penalties for 4 minutes, but the penalties were called coincidentally, so neither team had a power play here this evening. The Badgers in the faceoff circle tonight won 31 of 50. 8. The Badgers' best faceoff. Jimmy Snuggerud, 2 goals, 4 points, plus 4. They scored 5 goals on 10 shots on goal. Paulson, Zimmer, and Snuggerud. Meanwhile, their goaltender, Liam Soulier, the Penn State transfer, stopped 33 shots. Soulier gets the win. His record now 9-4-1. Minnesota improves to 26-3, 11-4-2 in the Big Ten. Meanwhile, for the Badgers, Ryland Mosley, he had a goal tonight. 7 shots on goal to lead the team. Kyle Kukkonen had 6 shots on goal. Simon Tassie had the other marker for the Badgers. Ben Dexheimer, a difficult -3 this evening. The Badgers' leading scorer, Quinn Finley, -2. He managed only 2 shots on goal. Tommy Scarfone, 23 saves this evening. Wasn't tested early. He was a lot late and took the loss. His record falls to 9-9-3. The Badgers now 11-13-3, 6-10-1 in the Big Ten. The 13 losses this season, one more than Wisconsin had all of last season. This game took 2 hours and 8 minutes to play in front of 10,747. Minnesota rallies and knocks off Wisconsin by the final score of 5-2. Series finale tomorrow night. Paul and I on the air at 4:30 with a face-off at 5 o'clock on the Badgers Sports Network and the Varsity Network app. Thanks a lot to Adam Morrison for his fine work at our Learfield Studios in Jefferson City, Missouri, to my partner here, Paul Capobianco. And to all of you listening here tonight, please join us tomorrow night for the series finale. Once again, the final score, Minnesota 5, Wisconsin 2. I'm Brian Posick, and thanks for listening to Badger Hockey from Learfield.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized. Then the Carpenters Union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Check the backseat. Check the back seat.
All right, come here.
Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the back seat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him
ourselves. Maybe, you know, we're going to maybe set up slaughterhouses in our backyards, which I've had people tell me we need to go back to. You know, these factory farms are bad. We need to go back to small, local, which I'm not entirely opposed to. I just don't know that it's functional. But, you know, I go back to that Hormel strike. It's my understanding that there were still some people there who weren't there in a documented fashion. This industry seems to always attract undocumented workers because, look, not a lot of Americans want to do these jobs, even at the wages they were making back then. What do you say to that?
Yeah, so it's really true that after that Hormel strike in the 80s and the union was effectively broken, the P9 that ran that particular plant in Austin, Minnesota, was rolled into the larger union and never had the same power, that there was a very quick replacement of the workforce there. And through various maneuvers, the traditional workforce was replaced largely with undocumented workers by the early 90s. Where that changed was with a series of raids that were carried out all in one day in December 2006, when the Bush administration was the George W. Bush administration was testing out this new organization that they had created that was the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. And this group that had been created that we've been told was going to be counterterrorism, that was going to be part of Homeland Security, instead, its very first action was to carry out the largest workplace raid that had ever been seen in the U.S. And it brought the company, Swift & Company, to its knees. The company within a year was forced to sell itself to JBS, a big international corporation, because they were not ever able to get staffed up again to the level to be running at full capacity. And so the industry recognized the danger at that point of relying too heavily on undocumented labor. But the move was, how do we find people who are not as culturally connected in the same way, don't know their rights as workers, aren't connected to the union, don't have community ties? And the solution was refugees. We can find people who are in every way the same as undocumented workers, except they have legal status. And that has been the direction that the whole industry has gone, and they've gone really hard in that way, especially in recent years, so that a plant like the plant in Greeley, the union says it's between 80 and 90% of the workers who were born outside of the United States. And almost the entire second shift is made up of people who have temporary protected status that was granted to them by the Biden administration. Well, if all of those people have their status rescinded all at once, what's going to happen to that plant? What's going to happen to all of those people who are here because they were seeking humanitarian asylum? What responsibility do we have to them? But also, you know, if there's overnight, there's no one to run these plants, what's going to happen to our food supply?
That's an excellent question. And it's not like JBS couldn't pay a reasonable wage or couldn't hire Americans at a reasonable wage. They're the largest company, meat producer in the world, I understand. I had revenues last year of upwards of $76 billion. This is a big behemoth company who could pay. They just choose not to.
Yeah, well, and JBS has a lot of allegations well beyond the concerns about how the workers are being treated at this particular plant. I mean, the JBS is fascinating right now. This is part of a lawsuit against them and three of the other largest beef producers that has been brought by McDonald's and by Kroger and Cisco,
the largest
food distributors. And what they're alleging is price fixing, and saying that JBS, at the same time that they are working in various ways to suppress wages, that they are also then in communication with other companies to keep the supply artificially low in order to keep prices high. And so this is the danger when you get too much consolidation, that you end up with companies that have this real stranglehold over the most basic of our needs. I mean, they control our food.
Yeah. Now, when you're talking about these stories, because, you know, you had mentioned a moment ago that they recruited these Haitians to come in. And in these situations, I have spoken to people who have worked in facilities like this before, and they always, the company always uses language barriers and ethnic differences to keep people at bay, keep them at each other, as opposed to organizing. Are we finding the same kind of environment there in Greeley? That, because you said they recruited them, I got to think that some of that plays.
Yeah. So, I mean, the issue is that as the union tells it, that coming out of the COVID pandemic and the plant experienced hundreds of illnesses and six deaths, that even the federal government, the finding was that the company had been not responsible in providing the kind of protective gear that was necessary to keep the workers healthy and alive. And so coming out of that, the union worked really hard to negotiate for better health benefits, for better worker protections, so that this sort of thing wouldn't happen again. And what the union says is that they think that there was a kind of corporate retaliation against this workforce for insisting on these conditions. And in fact, they were able to negotiate for better conditions at that plant than at some of the others that are similar in other parts of the country. And so the union says that they think that when this Haitian workforce was initially targeted to try to fill a few vacancies, but then they realized that there was a huge group of people who wanted to fill these jobs. The union says, we think that they were intentionally firing people who had been part of this effort to push for higher wages and for better benefits, and to replace them with people who didn't have any idea what their rights were and would work at almost, you know, twice the speed that people on the day shift were being asked to work.
Now, again, I want to go back to what you said a moment ago. But if Trump does clear all these people out, you know, what then does happen to this company? I mean, you know, not that I care. This is a big, giant company. They could pay people good wages. We could make these family-sustaining wage jobs. But what do you think then happens?
I mean, I think the only thing that we have as a kind of roadmap is what happened to Swift and Company in 2006. And like I said, for months, they had to run at reduced capacity because they didn't have enough people to staff up the plants. And eventually, because they had been hit in six different locations and it really hobbled their production across the company, they made the decision to sell off and became part of what is now JBS. If Trump is going to try to hit the numbers of deportations that he says that he's aiming for, 15 to 20 million people, you'd have to be carrying out workplace raids like this, 10 of those kinds of raids every single day for 4 years. And I just don't see how that's logistically possible in terms of the manpower to carry out those raids and the capacity to hold the people that you, I mean, where are you going to put 15 to 20 million people? But I also think, you know, it would devastate the economy. And so it's hard for me to imagine that this is what actually happens. What the union has said that they expect, and I think is reasonable, is that they think that the status will be revoked for temporary protected status, but that they will be given a classification that is a work visa status that would essentially tie their presence in the U.S. to their employment and would make them even more beholden to their employers than they are now.
Yeah, that's horrible. I mean, that you just went from bad to worst, in my view.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I think that there's every reason to expect that may be what will happen.
Because that's basically indentured servitude. I mean, you don't come to work and do this job to my satisfaction. Well, we're just going to turn you in. They're going to cart you out of here.
That's right. And again, I just want to remind everyone that the people that we're talking about here, the Haitian workers that we're talking about, for example, in order to enter the U.S. Under that temporary protected status, they had to demonstrate that their lives were in imminent danger in Haiti. So the people that I talked to for this story, there was one person who had been shot. There was one person who had been beaten almost to death. There were people who had specific threats from the gangs that control Port-au-Prince and the rest of Haiti. These are not people who can just go back to Haiti and pick up their lives. I mean, these are people who there's a real threat of death if they get sent back.
You know, I mean, we just saw on Wednesday, you know, the Trump folks announced that they were revoking protective status for 600,000 Venezuelans.
Right.
You know, where's that going to go? And this is going to be interesting to see where they play this out because, look, you know, there's 46% of the country thinks Trump's doing a great job. And this is all part of that. So as I've been saying, you know, the solutions will come out of the suffering caused by their savagery, and this is part of that. So last, you know, line of questioning I've got for you, because You know, most people don't think this stuff is going on. They think, they don't look behind the curtain, don't really care. Is there a way? I know you guys are doing the podcast over at Reveal, the investigative reporting podcast. Is there a way of getting this to more ears and eyes of just how deplorable some of these conditions are and some of the conditions that, maybe we may end up having to fight over?
Well, these are certainly the stories that we're trying to tell and trying to get people to share. I hope, your listeners and will listen to the whole episode and share it around with people. I hope it'll be something that we pay attention to, because certainly it affects our food and our food prices. But I can't say enough. I mean, what the administration is talking about is rescinding the status for a total of, more than a million people. And the idea that there may be a million people who we let into this country because they were seeking asylum here, because their lives were at risk, that we're going to put them onto military planes and fly them back to where they could be killed. It's just something that I feel like it is something that would stain the soul of our country in the way that slavery did, that the Trail of Tears did, the way that the Japanese internment camps did. And we always ask ourselves, what would we have done if we were alive during those times, if there's something that we could have done?
Yep.
I think that moment is here.
We
just have to let it be known that we don't want this sort of thing done in our names.
No, well, look, they're opening up Guantanamo Bay, going to take 30,000 migrants to Guantanamo Bay. I don't know what worse message you can send than that.
No, and that's, you're exactly right. It's clearly meant to send a message. And the thing is that declares who we are as a country. And I think it's our responsibility. If we don't agree with that, we got to make sure that that's known.
There you go. The Reveal podcast. You can find that wherever you get your favorite podcasts. February 1st, it will drop. Make sure you find that. Ted Greenaway's the author of The Chain, Farm, Factory, and the Fate of Our Food. He's going to be your host walking through all of that. I'm looking forward to it, Ted. Good work. I can't wait to hear it. And I hope to talk to you again real soon.
Great. Thanks very much, Rick.
I want to hear your thoughts. Do you care? This is one of those moments. Do you care? And then we can go from there. Sadly, I've met a lot of people who said they don't care. In fact, I met one woman who said, I sleep better knowing he's going after them. Is that who we are? I want to hear it. Rick at RickSmithShow.com. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1865. That was the day the United States Congress passed the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, abolishing slavery. President Abraham Lincoln had already issued the Emancipation Proclamation, but there was worry that the proclamation, an emergency wartime measure, would not stand up in the courts after the war had ended. The introduction of the amendment first occurred in 1864 as the Civil War raged on. That meant that only Northern legislators were present to debate the issue. Despite this, the amendment failed to pass the House of Representatives. Determined to ensure its passage on the second try, President Lincoln made the amendment part of the National Republican platform for the presidential election. He lobbied heavily for the bill and was able to win enough support for its passage. The New York Times described the scene after the vote in the House of Representatives, writing, "No attempt was made to suppress the applause, which came from all sides, everyone feeling that the occasion justified the fullest expression of approbation and joy." The final amendment read, "Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist in the United States or any place, subject to their jurisdiction." The amendment then had to be ratified by 3/4 of the states. The ratification marked a fundamental change in the labor system of the United States. No more would the nation be divided by free labor and slave labor laws. Kentucky did not officially ratify the 13th Amendment until 1976, and Mississippi did not follow until 1995.
Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So learn something this week. Learn that Sheldon Whitehouse, the senator from Rhode Island, had been a former law school roommate with Robert Kennedy Jr. Evidently, RFK Jr. and them have been longtime friends. And at the confirmation hearing, Sheldon Whitehouse said, frankly, you frighten people. And yeah, even conservatives are freaked out. Even some of the people that I still view as somewhat sane, who can call themselves conservative, even they're freaked out by RFK Jr. and this idea that we're going to make polio great again. And the push for this whole anti-vax movement and the pseudoscience that he brings, it's kind of concerning. Now, what I thought also was interesting during his hearing, it's one of those things where you go, what does he really think? And evidently, he said on Wednesday during the hearing that most Americans are not happy with Medicaid because the premiums are too high. Now, this is under friendly questioning. This is a Republican asking this question about, what's going on. And understand, Medicaid, they don't have premiums because it's for the poor. It's for the indigent. It's for folks who are at the bottom of the spectrum. And the fact that the matter is that if you're getting Medicaid, you're struggling. Now, what he said is, in reality, the vast majority of Medicaid enrollees pay nothing for health care coverage. But the point of the program to ensure low-income Americans cannot afford private health insurance or out-of-pocket medical care. RFK Jr. proved himself out of his depth, even under friendly Republican questioning. And, for me, when you go, you don't even know what the basic program is. How can you be the guy who's in charge of it? How can we allow someone like RFK Jr. to be in charge of something that he doesn't actually understand, even the rudimentary parts of it? Now, you could go, the ACA was based on expanding Medicaid and making Medicaid available to everyone. And then if your income was above a certain level, that you would then have to pay the difference to get you down to Medicaid level, creating kind of a sliding scale. As you earn more, you pay a little bit into the system. Maybe in the most charitable ways, maybe, but I don't think so. I think he was put into that position for one reason and one reason only, and that is chaos. That is to, from within, destroy the system. Because understand, Republicans have been against Medicaid and Medicare. They've been against all of this from the start. So there's nothing in this that makes me go, oh, gee, they picked probably one of the least qualified people to run the agency. And gee, where do you think they're going to run it? They're going to run it right into the ground. And out of that, millions of people are going to suffer. Poor people are going to suffer because they're not going to get health care. And the elderly are going to suffer because that's how we pay for long-term care for people who are indigent. There's something really, really wrong with RFK Jr. being the head. Now, are there things that I agree with him on? There are some things. A blind squirrel finds a nut occasionally. I do think our food supply has a lot of problems. I think handing it over to big corporate interests, a lot of problems, as we just talked about. I think there's an awful lot that we should be doing to reel in big ag and corporate food. There's an awful lot. We should be looking at getting rid of a lot of high fructose corn syrup and all the stuff that he talks about. I could come along with. But when you start talking about a lot of the kookery that we normally get out of him, I don't know. But I do want to hear your thoughts. Head of HHS, you okay with that? Is that a good thing? Good place for him? Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Seriously, I don't know where to go with that. Cannot believe we're here. But that's going to be the statement we're going to come up with every day for the next 4 years. Can you believe what happened today? They say, may you live in interesting times? Oh, boy, do we. Oh, boy, howdy. I want to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Miss any portion of the program? Grab the podcast. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. At Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A medical transport jet carrying a pediatric patient and five others slammed into a Philadelphia neighborhood about 30 seconds after takeoff.
Me and my brother just ran out from, you know, house, and we see, like, there is nothing, basically. But I see, like, within, like, 1 minute, everybody started, you know, running from, like, my neighbor next door, and everybody is running there.
A fireball engulfing several vehicles and spread to nearby homes and buildings. Mayor Sherelle Parker says that information on fatalities not immediately known. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
A Lear 55, a private jet used as a air ambulance, believed to have six people on board, crashed, falling out of the sky like a missile in the Philadelphia area. Investigators will need to understand how the plane bound for Missouri fell out of the sky. What went wrong?
The Northeast Philadelphia plane crash comes